All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
Hello, and welcome back. Taxation is theft. This is the show that tells you all the ways the government is ripping you off and bending you over and screwing you. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker somewhere deep within the jungles of Mexico. I'm Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States and currently in the race for Governor of Texas. I'm required by law to tell you, if you have high blood pressure, you should not listen to this show because it will probably make you blow a vein or a valve. Today I've got Josh Butterfield, and he's got a really interesting story to tell, something that he's involved in with public schools and some very disgusting behavior by school employees or government employees. I don't know which one takes priority, which one is the label you choose to give them. But before we get started, of course, I want to quickly ask for your support. Head on over to taxationistheft.cards. Help us keep this show alive by buying a t-shirt, buying a stamp so you can stamp all your money that says taxation is theft. We have all kinds of cool stuff. Get your flag, of course. We need more flags out there. Hang these out on the porch of your balcony. Piss off your HOA. Piss off the Trump supporters across the street with their Trump 2020 flags. Do whatever you can to get the word out that taxation is theft, because the whole world needs to know. All right, well, I guess that's all I have to say. So on to the show. Josh, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Daniel. I really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very, very, very much.
Absolutely, man. So I just happened to like tune in when you were live streaming. I thought you were like going on a walk through the park or something fun. And,
no.
And then as I started listening, I was like, holy shit.
Right.
What's right. the backstory on this? Moment.
Okay. So here's the deal. I've just recently, when the COVID hit, I kind of just seen what was going on. So personally, I said, screw it. I'm going to try and fight this the best I can. And I wrote a book. I started a website. I called it Freedom Press Media, and I knew I was going to be pushing some boundaries. So that's why I called it Freedom Press Media, because I'm pushing the boundaries of Freedom Press. And through this, I've kind of created my own thought on a political system for localism, to where we, the local community, get stuff together to where we can fix things. To where, personally, I just feel that the federal government, if it's no longer in our hands, if it costs millions of dollars that you have to burn to get into the office, it's no longer we, the people, have control over it. So
right.
Locally, we can take control back of everything. So my thought is, do what we can locally in local politics and figure this out and fix what we can locally right here. And try and take control and put ourselves maybe where we can withdraw from the federal government, local or state government, and decide what we're going to do right here. It's really pretty in depth. I don't want to get into that. That's not what I'm about right now. But it's just a little bit of backstory on how I got here and what I did. So what happened is my kids go to school here in Canton, R3, Canton, Missouri, Lake of the Ozarks. It's a really good school. It really is. The teachers are great stuff, but the administration, they run it. They run the school very poorly as far as letting the parents have any input, anything like that. So what we had found out last year is that there was a janitor who had exposed himself to children, and he was masturbating while this happened. It's really disgusting to think about. But we parents were upset and pissed off, and we were like, okay, that's bad, but you guys took care of it. Well, lo and behold, this year, 1 year later, we find out that a teacher comes forward and says, look, the school had this happen multiple times. They had this happen 2 times in the middle school, and they covered it up and didn't tell anybody about it. And then after that, they moved him to a younger school to where it happened to a younger child. Now, in my eyes, when the school didn't report this the first time, that there is part their fault that this happened the other 2 times, because they could have stopped it. If they would have done their job and reported it. By law, they're reported. And the law number here in Missouri, the statute number, is 210.115. I've done research in it. I found all this out. And so once I found out, A, that there was a court case going on, I looked them up on CaseNet. So CaseNet's where you can look up the people and see their charges. So I looked up the charges and I seen, boom, he had three charges right there with three separate dates on CaseNet, on the public entity of the courts, where you can go to the court's website and say, look, he has three cases on three separate dates. So what that tells me is that the school knew that it happened and they covered it up. So, and plus you have the teacher that verified and is filing a suit that says, hey, the school covered it up and they didn't treat me well because of this, and I'm going to sue them. Because he was trying to fight the whole time. They actually had an investigator, a private investigator that knew the superintendent, come and investigate. And after the teacher questioned Mr. Ritchie, he questioned the investigator. They had the same investigator come back again and investigate again. And lo and behold, they found themselves wrong, no wrongdoing. So this is where it made my blood boil, is that I was like, okay, clearly they need to answer some questions to us parents, because my kids were in both the schools this happened. It happened in the middle school and then in the elementary. And my kids were both in the school at the same time, both those schools. It could have been my kids that walked in on this sicko. And so it just infuriated me. And who knows how many kids were subjected to it and didn't even say anything. Since then, we've even found that the police officer and local contractors have found that there's what the local police officer jokingly called masturbation stations. And it was alleged. I don't know for sure, but it's alleged from witnesses that have said that he's found these masturbation stations and took a blacklight to them and just laughed about it and thought it was funny how gross it was there. But it's really sickening to know the level of stuff that's going on. So my thought was, hey, why don't I just go to the school board and ask them what's going on? Like, I'm more of a in-person type of person, and I figured out at least the very least they could do is answer my questions on what's going on. So I got my camera, and like I said, I got my Freedom Press Media Company. So I got my camera and I walked in there and I walked into the school and I said, hey, I'd like to talk to the superintendent. They're like, well, the superintendent's not here. Vice superintendent's right here. I said, cool. He scheduled an appointment for me for 11:30 that day. I came back at 11:30 ready to record, ready to talk to him, because the night before we had a meeting locally here, and it was my first live feed ever. I had 4,000 local people, which we're in a small town. That's a lot of people here. I had 4,000 people watching the video the night before. So, I just represented a bunch of people, and I told them that. I said, you know, I'm by myself right now, but I represent a lot of people, and we're a bunch of concerned parents. And he didn't listen to me at all. He had the cop come and said, hey, escort this man out. And I looked at the cop dead in his eye and I said, listen, I've done nothing wrong. I broke no laws. I'm allowed to sit here. I'm allowed to film. They were filming me in the school and I didn't consent to any of that. They're public employees. I'm allowed to record them. Anyways, so I said to the police officer, I said, look, I broke no laws, but when he didn't report what happened to these students, he broke law number 210.115. I said, you can either kick me out or you can arrest him. Lo and behold, you know what happened. They kicked me out. So I interviewed him, and then I decided to go to the local sheriff, and I walked into the sheriff and I said, okay, sheriff, he broke law 210.115. Somebody please go do something about this. Well, they gave me the runaround and said, well, you got to go to the city department. Okay. So I went to the city and I interviewed the city, police officer there. He said he would look into it. So he goes, he looks up law number 210.115 for me, and he comes back and he's like, well, yeah, it kind of appears that they broke the law, but I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? They broke the law. Go give them a ticket like you'd give anybody else a ticket. Like, go find justice right now. And he was like, well, I don't know. I can't really do that. I got to talk to the prosecutor. Now, at that point, he told me that he has to talk to the prosecutor. To me, that doesn't seem like justice. What he did is he said, like, if I was driving down the road and got a ticket, a speeding ticket or anything else, the officer wouldn't call the prosecutor and be like, should I give this man a ticket? No, they're not going to do that. They're going to give me a ticket. And so what I see in my eyes, it's not justice. It's not, it's corruption, and it's just everybody covering for each other. So from there, there's just been a lot of other circumstances that's came into play. And it's been a constant battle from there, and the school has done nothing but shut me out after that. I tried to, yep, go ahead.
When this guy I mean, you said he's got like three cases. Are these open cases, or has he been convicted of anything? Is he like a registered sex offender or anything?
At this point, no, they're open cases right now. Before he got the job, he had been, here's where it gets weird, is that before he got the job, it's alleged from many people that he got caught doing the same thing in Walmart. And when he was doing it at Walmart, he got caught. And then after he got caught, he got the job still at the school. So the question becomes, how did he get the job in the first place? And then the other ones, there's three separate occasions. The last parent that got caught with, or this happened to the student, his story is that when the school, he called the school and he asked the school what happened, and the school told him about the incident, and he's like, okay, well, you arrested the guy, right? And they're like, no, we escorted him off the property. And he's like, what do you mean escorted him, like in a cop car? And they're like, no. So even then they didn't report it. He's the one that had to report it to the authorities. So even the last time,
are the schools unions or teachers unions or whatever, like really, do they really have a hold on this school, on this thing? Oh, or is this guy,
yeah,
like,
I have no idea. Like I said,
is he like friends with the principal, or what's going on?
Right. Like I said, I just now got into local politics, and I'm really finding out how connected everybody is around here. But, yes, the guy that did all this, his dad actually worked for the school and has worked for the school for many years in the janitor department. He was a janitor before, or this kid was a janitor. And I guess, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs, whether his dad got him the job or not, but his dad did know of the Walmart incident. So he should have told, the school about it before hiring him. That's just my opinion. And the dad still works there, which, I mean, I get it. You can't be judged for your son's actions, but at the same time, I mean, I feel that he should have spoke up a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a clear case of nepotism. It's, you know, yeah, he's a criminal, but he's my son, so he's going to get the job.
The school will probably go up there. All right. I'm sorry. I got other people here, but, yeah. I'm just trying to get them going. But
so
yeah,
you're at the school now, because there's a meeting going on or something, but there's more to that. Like you're not allowed in. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. I'm actually not at the school right now. Because they have banned me from there. After I went to the, the school board that first time, they had another meeting later. And when they had the meeting, the school board meeting, I actually showed up to the school board meeting and was like, hey, I represent Freedom Press Media. I'd like to record the school board meeting. And the cop stood at the door and said, well, you're not welcome here. And I went, what do you mean? I'm a parent, I'm press, I have the First Amendment rights of freedom of the press, and I'm here on behalf, and this is a public meeting. I'm allowed to be in a public meeting. And he's like, well, you're not allowed. And I was like, well, why not? And he's like, because I said so. And that was his justification. That was his excuse to not allow me in the public meeting at the school. He said, because I said so. And he banned me from the building. And I sat out there and I waited about 3.5 hours and tried to catch a interviews with people coming out, and I wasn't able to get one, unfortunately, but he never gave me a reason. The next day, yes. I found a letter in my mail saying that the superintendent of the school, he wrote a personal letter to me and said he himself declared that I'm no longer allowed there, which is awful funny, because I've been vocally speaking out that, hey, this man broke the law, and at the very least he needs to step down. He shouldn't be having his job right now. He failed to protect our children. He should not still be in the position of trying to protect our children.
I wonder, like, does he have any real legal authority to make that, to make a call like that?
I don't know. I know that he runs the school board. He's almost like a CEO. I don't know if he's technically declared as it, but he basically runs everything around here, right, within the school. I mean, he is the absolute control over everything.
Have you or anyone talked to any lawyers? Are there any civil cases going on or anything?
Well, like I said, that one teacher, he's suing the school because they treated him badly, because the whole time he's just like, why are you guys covering this up? Like, fire this guy, investigate this. And the whole time they cover it up. So he's speaking out, and he's got a suit against them. So he's the only one right now. I'm currently in talks with lawyers. It's funds that are kind of a bit of a problem. And I personally believe in freedom, and I think that I can appeal to 12 of my peers if I was to ever get into trouble and just represent myself. I've done it many times, and actually won. And I'm not scared to represent myself. I was like, I'm part lawyer or something, but I know I've never had any degree or anything like that, but I'm not scared of them. But that's where I'm at, is that I'm just I'm trying to look for lawyers right now. But at this point, I mean, I'm just trying to do what's right. And trying to speak out against what's happening, you know? I mean, so right. I think the world needs to know and see what's happening. And at least, I mean, they've had multiple school board meetings since this. I've been fighting this for weeks now. And they're as opposed to firing him or having him step down, they just keep pushing it.
So they are actually having conversations about this. They're not just ignoring
it. Absolutely not. They, any question, I've sent them lists of questions. I got a list of probably 50 questions I got for them. That's way deeper than just this. And, here in the local community, there's probably, it got shared multiple times. I want to say like 60, 70 times. And these are hard questions. And it could be more than that, but these parents have emailed them in. We're doing everything we can to try and get these questions. That's what everybody's going to the meeting for tonight, is that finally we've rallied up enough people, and they're right now, they just left. But they're going to the meeting tonight to try and go and ask some questions, and we're going to see how it goes. Something tells me they're not going to want to answer any questions. But anytime I ask a question, they say, well, it's in legal litigation, we can't answer it. Well, here's my fundamental question that I think that they should be able to answer is, did you know it happened? Just to simply answer that question. Did you know it happened the first time? That's a simple yes or no question.
Right.
Yes or no answer. Answer it. If you say yes, then you're at fault. Get out of there. And if they refuse to answer, then that automatically implies guilt. That means you're saying yes, but you're just not going to come out and say it. Like if the answer was no, you'd be like, well, no. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's just where my mind goes. Is that you know, it's just they're not being forthcoming about it, and there's just so much proof to show that all this happened. Originally, when it happened,
could you and all of the other parents just take your kids out of the school and just leave them with no students, or you know, you've got one teacher that's on your side? What are the chances of getting a walkout with all the teachers?
I mean, we're trying to get as much support. The local community, I walk through the stores and stuff, and the local community is very, very supportive of me. I mean, I've kind of become a Facebook celebrity, I guess, around here. But everybody is very supportive, but they're scared to speak out. So everybody's scared to speak out, but they support me in what I'm doing. Like, I'll go through the grocery store, and people will tell me, thank you. But at the same time,
what's the fear? Are people really, like, afraid. They're not too afraid to send their kids to a school where there's this guy jerking off in front of their kids, but they're too afraid to say anything about it. Like, what kind of, how does somebody justify that to themselves?
I don't know. 'Cause it's easier that way. I mean, it's really hard to pull your kids out of school and change your whole life. And so a lot of parents don't know what to do, especially single parents. I mean, that's a life altering decision to be able to have to say, you know, okay, I'm going to homeschool and invest all my time. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills now. And
no,
so
becomes full circle. Is there like another school they can transfer to nearby, or are you too far from anything?
No. It's all about state funds. And that's where my localism comes back around, to where what I'd like to see is the local community put an initiative, a ballot initiative, to where we get to vote onto the tuition, because the school actually receives about $10,000 to $14,000 a year for every single student. And the ratio of our school is 14 to 1, 14 students to every teacher. So that means each teacher is bringing in about $140,000, but we know they don't make that, you know?
Right.
So that tells me that, let's say, you know, because with the corona and everything, you know, Democrats are wanting to pull their kids because they're scared. And it's just a numbers game. You know, the more people you're subjected to, the more you're going to be prone to it. The Republicans definitely don't want masks on their kids or plexiglass or all that. You know what I mean? And the libertarians, obviously, we don't want our freedoms infringed. So it becomes a split between everybody, to where we're all kind of like, you know, questionable. So my question becomes is that, why can't we just take that tuition money and pull our kids out of school and use that money to homeschool? And we can start private schools. We can build up our local economy and let the free market take over, because the free market will create the best schools very soon, because the better schools will rise up and the worse schools will fail. And eventually we'll see private schools that will be much, much better than the schools we have now, where teachers have the ability to freely teach and do whatever they want. Because right now, a lot of our teachers' hands are bound by Common Core and all this. I mean, the teachers have been reaching out. They don't have any control over what they can teach. And they're just as frustrated with this whole mess as we are. And so I always believe that freedom's always the answer. And so how do we achieve that? And once again, the free market. And I don't agree with taxes, obviously. Taxation is theft. But if you're going to steal from us our taxes, at least give us the option on where we want to take them. Like, at least give us the option to decide if we're going to take it to the public school that full of indoctrinate or what, full of whatever kind of stuff you got going on, and the courses you're teaching, or let us have the ability for us to freely decide and maybe create a free market and a better school.
I think that's kind of the point of taxes, is they don't want you to have that freedom to decide where the money is spent. They want you to spend your money on their products, even though they're shit.
Right. The glory here where I'm at is that I'm on a lake community where we have tourists and we're a pretty wealthy community. 80% of our school income comes from right here locally. So if I can get the local community to rise up and say, you know what, you're right, we're not going to stand for this, and we're going to figure out our own way of doing things. And if they vote the initiative in right here to where we can actually control our tax dollars, that takes the power away from them somewhat, and it gives the power back to the parents and the people, which I feel is fundamental. That's just my personal opinion.
What's the situation? I mean, I know, like, you know, it sounds like this is something you just got into within the last couple months. So,
a couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're very lucky with the election cycles, you might not be in the right place. But what's the situation like to look for voting some people out and changing some things there? The school board.
Right. School board meeting or school board elections are coming up in April. And so that's definitely the plan there, is that we're going to do everything we can to put people in there who are going to listen to the parents and stuff. Another thing I'd like to bring up, there's just so many problems. Like I said, I've got 50 questions for this administration right now. One of the other big things I should bring up is that we're $85 million in debt right now. Our school is $85 million in debt. It has a yearly income of $55 million. So even if we took off $1 million a year, which would be about 2% of our budget, it would take 85 years to pay back. So our grandkids, grandkids, grandkids are going to be paying for the mistakes of this administration, if you think about it. I mean, it's so...
And how many students? So how big is that? Is the district?
Man, I don't know. I think our town has 4,000 people. The district or the county has 40,000 people in the county. The school has a couple hundred kids each grade, so maybe 300 kids grade. So whatever.
So 4,000. You said debt. $85 million in debt for a few hundred kids?
No. It'd be a couple thousand kids, but yeah. I mean, it's a big number. I mean, it's just, I don't know how they got so far in debt, but it's really a question that brings a lot of concern, because that's a lot of money.
that sounds like, and you know, especially when there's like this kind of nepotism going around protecting people who really don't belong there, who really obviously don't belong there.
Right.
You know, right. It could very easily be that, you know, some other people are protecting each other so they can siphon some money off the top and stick them in their own pockets.
I hate to throw accusations out there, but it does seem like a very real possibility. And there's different parents that are a little not quite as outspoken as I am, that they're trying to work on it better to get a petition going and to get an audit for the school. I'm just a little outspoken and I'm a little more
Right.
it's just there's other people that are a little milder than me that are better to take care of things like this.
Yeah, no, it's...
Because I'm just, I put myself out there, and I'm nice and respectful through it all. But I mean, like when the school told me to stop recording and to leave, I said no, man. That's my First Amendment right. I respectfully decline. You know, I want to stay.
Yeah, and I was watching when some of that happened. I think you were, I don't know if it was the first time you were there, but you went to a few different offices and you were talking to one of the police officers, and it was like the school police, I think. And right. And you know, like what's interesting about this, and you brought up the point about how, you know, a police officer will, you know, he'll see you speeding and he doesn't have to ask anybody. He just writes you a ticket. Yeah. But at the Absolutely. Same time, they're really like, they're trained for that. Like like that's all they know their job is, right? Like, I mean, imagine if, you know, like you ask local police, like, hey, I know a guy who hacked into my computer, like from outside my house and stole my files. Like the average cop he's not going to know what the hell to do with that. And he's like, it's pretty obvious that's illegal, but he's just going to be like, hey, that's out of my jurisdiction. You're going to have to talk to the DA or something. And then, and it's the same thing when you talk to the DAs, because they have the same thing. They have a shit ton of crimes on their plate. A lot of them are drug crimes, and they get to sit there and choose, okay, which ones are going to be easy to prosecute? Which ones are going to be ones that, like, oh, this sounds interesting to me. And of course, when you have so many that are like drug crimes, and especially those are easy to prosecute because all you need is the cop saying, yeah, I saw him light the joint up. You know, it's like, that's where they spend all their time and money. And it's like,
it's definitely frustrating. That's where I see the fundamental problem with everything is that the prosecutor, earlier, Tony Helms, our sheriff here at the Lake of the Ozarks, I live at Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri, and we've caught a lot of national attention, because we never shut down. We never shut down. We've been going full blast, and we had more people this year than we've ever had. Our lake is usually huge. We had 10 million visitors here this year, and we don't wear masks. I mean, that's just how we rule. We experience freedom here. But the sheriff, when I interviewed the sheriff, he basically, I had an interview with him, and he was on CNN and stuff too, but I had an interview with him and trying to break down to fix the system, because I think that qualified immunity is a big problem. And qualified immunity, I'm sure you know, and there's a lot of people that know, but it's just where basically the police don't prosecute themselves, and they're allowed to be exempt from prosecution because of the fact that they're in the line of duty or whatever. So that's what protects them from a lot of this stuff. So what I want to do is try and change things with the prosecutor. The prosecutor has the full power when these crimes come across their desk. They can look at the crimes and go, oh, well, I know that guy. That guy's my buddy. I'm going to just go ahead and throw that one away. Or, oh, that one, I work with him. He's a cop. He's a good cop. I'm going to throw that one away. Or even private individuals, you know, and it's just a good buddy system. It's all buddy-buddy. And so what this does is it gives the prosecuting attorney the sole power in the county to control everything. They control it all in their hands. So there's a lot of crimes that are happening, and that's why everybody's upset right now and stuff. I don't think burning down your community is the right answer to this. Like, this is not going to fix anything. I personally feel that we need to make changes and do what we can with the actual problems. If you're just complaining about something and you're not offering a solution, all you're doing is dividing us. They want us divided. So the problem becomes, what are we going to do to solve the problem? So if we can get a committee of local people that can bypass the prosecutor, and let's say it's just a committee where it's constantly voted in, almost like a jury trial, and to where if the prosecutor rejects a case, to where these people can look at it and be like, okay, you know what? The prosecutor rejected it, but we think there's enough evidence here that it should still go to trial. And then that person gets to send it to trial. And then it actually goes to a jury trial, and a jury actually decides, as opposed to letting the prosecutor just throw all these cases away because they're buddy buddy. We have to have, and I'm not necessarily saying that's what's happening here, but the sheriff openly, when I talked to him, he openly said, yes, this is a possibility that could happen anywhere because of the way the system's set up. And so this is what's going on all over the nation. Is that all the prosecutors can throw away these cases and create a good buddy-buddy system, and then these same people just kind of run our local economy, local And then they just, you know, they just it branches on them.
Yeah, and this is like, I mean, this is something that's it's always there. It's always a possibility. And it's, you know, it's like racism, where you have people saying like, oh, I'm not racist, my best friends are black. And it's like, yeah, but the things that you do are very subtly racist, and that doesn't mean you're doing them intentionally. You know, it's we all have like all of these biases in our own minds. And so like here's another one. If you try to sue the city and you have a jury trial, and the jurors are from the city, half of them are going to be like, hey, well, you know, if he wins, we're going to have to be paying this with our taxes. And they vote against it just based on that. And it's not like they're saying that, you know, what the city did to somebody wasn't wrong, but it's just it's these like internal biases that we have that just kind of control this. But you're absolutely right. And a few years ago, I proposed a bill called the Accountable Authority Act, which had some things in there, just like what you're talking about, the ability that, you know, like I've seen, you know, a long time ago, there was a girl who went missing, and I saw her family got together and they raised a ton of money so that they could offer a reward. They offered like $100,000 reward for information leading to find out, you know, what happened, how she went missing. And it's like that exact same thing. If somebody murders your daughter instead, that money can go towards a lawyer who's not the district attorney, but a lawyer who will with full faith in, you know, yes, the murderer was a police officer, and we know he's friends with the district attorney, and he's not going to prosecute it, or at least not put that much effort into it. You hire a private attorney who's basically going to do his due diligence and actually, you know, respect the will of the people who are paying him, and right, do the best to prosecute that case. We need that. Otherwise, it is literally us versus them, and they are not going to prosecute themselves just because, you know, like right, you said, there's like,
we got to have a system of checks and balances locally, I think. Yeah. Some kind.
And it might not be intentional. They might be trying to like, oh, I'm really trying to do the best thing, but this guy, I know I know him. He's a friend of my cousin. He's like, I can't prosecute this.
Right.
That can't, we have to have a way. I mean, that's a problem. And there's a solution to the problem. It doesn't mean fire everybody and say, like, we shouldn't have a DA. But it does mean...
No, I'm not saying fire him. I'm saying, you know, just make it to where
We got to find a way to plug that hole, right?
Right. And that's what I'm saying. If there was just a public community that people could appeal to, or anything, any way that we can do this, but a public community that they could appeal to that would have the power to send things to jury trial, just in case, that would be like a backup protection, you know? But yeah, this goes a little deeper too, because recently, I guess I kind of should throw this out there too. Recently it was reported, that one of their students in middle school, got a vaccine and the parent didn't know about it. So the student just texted the parent, right after they got the vaccine, they went and texted their parent, hey, I just got two vaccines. The school made me do it. And so the parent didn't know about it. They were upset. They posted on Facebook that it happened. I've been trying to get an interview with the parent. I'm yet to have one, but I wanted to hear two sides of the story. There's two sides of every story. So I figured I would go to the health department and just ask some simple questions. There's been a lot of questions, simple questions I've been wanting to ask them for a while. They mandated masks for kids in the school. The local community voted, and they sent out polls beforehand, and the local community, about 80% of the people said no, they didn't want their kids to wear masks. They had a secret meeting at school and mandated we had masks, and they blamed it on the health department partly. So I wanted to ask the health department, hey, did you guys mandate masks and social distancing for kids? That was one of the questions. Another one was I was going to ask, do you ever intend to plan forced vaccines on people? If a higher government says that we have to have a vaccine, do you intend to force those upon us? Another question I had was, do you ever intend to close down a business, and shut down somebody's business that they've worked their whole lives for? Do you have an intent to ever do that, in the future, or would you do that? Just a couple questions along those lines. And then I wanted to ask
about the school's health board, or are you talking about the county health board?
The county health department.
Okay.
The health department for the county. So the health department for the county was at the middle school giving meningitis and TB tuberculosis vaccinations. And that's the vaccinations that this student received without their parents' approval.
Do you know more on this case? Like, was this just like one kid that slipped through the cracks, or like, did everybody else have permission slips and like, or did they just do the one kid?
Everybody else had permission strips as far as we know, but this one kid fell through the cracks. But coming upon sharing the story, I've heard lots of different stories of other parent or other students and other parents coming out saying, yeah, no, this is, they did that to me years ago, or they did that to me here, and people from all over different school districts. And it just gives you an idea into the mentality that the school has and the power they think that we have over our children. They're just going to do whatever they want and get away with it. And nobody's ever going to hold them accountable. And I don't think anybody ever bucks up to the system like this. Like I'm bucking up hard, and people just don't want to buck this hard. They don't. I mean, it's been a stressful battle, you know, this whole time. But and I can see why people don't want to go through this. And I could only imagine, because I've got the support of the community being so outspoken as I am. But if somebody was trying to do this all on their own, they wouldn't have a chance. They wouldn't have a chance trying to fight the school board. They would bully them and push them over. And I mean, we've marched with multiple people. We had KY3, the local news station, and we marched down to the school administration on camera and tried to go in there and ask questions, and they just shut us out. They just shut us out right there on camera for the whole world to see. But coming back around to the vaccination thing, so the parent, I wanted to go to the health board and be like, okay, look, how could you do this? How could you accidentally give them? The main thing was that the consent form, they had a consent form from last year, and so they didn't. That was 6 months ago. This kid could have had a vaccination since then, and then they would have gave him a double dose, and they never contacted the parents. So there's a bunch of questions here that need to be asked. And that was one of the questions that I was going to ask, you know, do you get a yearly vaccination report? What would happen if you accidentally vaccinated a kid twice because you didn't check with their parents? These were questions that I had that I was going to ask them. So once again, my Freedom Press Media, my style, it's a little different style. Some people don't agree with it, but I just peacefully, I started my camera at the outside of the health department. I said, okay, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to ask him some questions. I went in there and I asked the lady, you know, hey, could I please have a meeting with B. Dampier? She's the one that runs the health department. I said, could I please talk to her for a minute about some questions that I have? And she responded by like, well, she's in a meeting. Let me go talk to her. The lady basically never came back. And 20 minutes later, the police come back. And I'm like, okay, you know, how's it going, guys? And they just walk right past me. And one of them was the same officer at the school board that told me, you can't come in because I said so, which is a public meeting, and he broke the law when he did that. Now, everybody's telling me to get lawyers and stuff, you know, like I said. Anyways, so the same cop walks in, and he's like, goes back there, talks to him for a second, and then he comes back, and he's like, well, you got to go. I was like, what do you mean I got to go? He's like, well, you're trespassed off the property. And I was like, what did I do? Why? He's like, you got to leave now. Leave now. And I was like, okay, you know, and I just politely left. And he's like, you're trespassed. You don't ever come back here. And I'm like, any reasons or why? And never gave me a reason. Nobody ever warned me. Nobody ever said I was doing anything wrong. I can tell you I was within my First Amendment rights because that's a public building and I'm press. And
you got this on camera, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% on camera. This one video has 40,000 views right now. If you go look, it's got 40,000 views. People are upset. Upset. A lot of people have seen this view, and you can just watch it. I'm nice and kind the whole way. I'm not one of these protesters or people that are like screaming and fighting cops. I mean, I may disagree with you, but I'm going to have a civil disagreement and talk with it. And my hope is that I'm always looking for solutions. And what I want to do is I want to have people from all sides sit down. I want to find the far left, most far left guy and the far right guy, and have them sit down and try and work for a solution. Or a Muslim and a Christian, or the most polar opposites, and try and work together and create peace in this world, as opposed to all the conflict that keeps happening, because that divides us. And when they divide us, that gives them the power. If we'd come together and just see that we're not that far apart, you know, and work together to create peace in this world, I think we'd fix a lot of things. So that's where I'm at, is that I was just peacefully trying to sit down with the health department and talk to them. And you can see I'm nice. I didn't do anything wrong. And they just came in and bullied me and ran me out. And people are really upset with the way they treat me. If you watch the video, I mean, the last of the video is really where it gets the juicy part. But I mean, it just infuriates people. So that's what's going on there. I'm fighting that battle with them too. I mean, there's just a lot of battles I'm fighting on a lot of fronts here.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. But I mean, like, it's good to hear that you're actually, you know, putting up that fight. And in a way too, like, you know, it's good that you're doing it as much as, like, we all get angry and we all want to throw Molotov cocktails and scream fuck the police and pig and
right,
all that.
Right.
Like, we have to understand that, like, that's I was actually just watching this video that, like, it was on the mainstream. It was a news report about a protest, an anti-mask protest, and they picked the dumbest sounding people from the crowd to represent the we don't want to wear masks thing. And right. it's the exact same thing. When we're out here, when you're out there doing what you're doing, you represent the sanity of keeping government accountable. And if you sound like an idiot and you're just yelling at police and throwing stuff and saying, I'm going to fight you and I know my rights and that sort of stuff, like it makes you look bad. It makes the whole idea of keeping the government accountable look bad. Right. So that people will they'll look at the government who are, you know, they're in their suits and saying, oh, well, he didn't have an appointment, so we weren't able to accommodate him. And they'll be like, well, yeah, that's it. I mean, if you would have had an appointment, problem solved. Of course, this guy's an idiot. And all hail the school board and the government employees and everything else. We have to kind of rise above that, because that it's, you know, it's that same kind of subtle perception where it's like, we don't know we're seeing that. And especially until, like, someone points it out or we point it out to ourselves, like, we don't recognize that. It's we're thinking based on feeling and emotion, which is another thing we don't realize we do. So yeah, absolutely. You know, that's, you have to keep that. You have to totally keep cool when you're doing stuff like this, especially as a journalist. So, I applaud your efforts for that. That's really amazing.
Thank you. A lot of people said they would have been really upset, and I'm just trying to keep an open source communication and just trying to, like I said, work for peace. I grew up kind of rough. When I grew up, I grew up fist fighting a lot. I won't lie. I grew up in a rough town, man. That's just how we rolled. But I've put that past all that in my life, and I'm really just trying to do what I can to create peace and create a better world for my children. If you want to really know the truth, why I do what I do, my kids are my whole world, man. I live and breathe for them. My youngest son, he is 1 pound 5 ounces when he was born. And I used to work on the road for Walmart. I've been in the belly of the beast and seen a lot of corruption in there, and seen how dirty they did business. And I chased the dollar for so many years. But when I had my kids, they were born premature, and it made me think about different life differently. And them being premature, just it made me look at things differently. And one of my boys in between, he was born at 1 pound even, and he passed away. And I was out on the road when it happened. He was born real early in this world. He made it. He didn't make it very long in this world. He was here a couple of weeks, but I was out of town when it happened. And when I came back, I was able to hold him in my hands. And I promised him I was going to do everything I could to try and make the world better and try and fix the world for his brothers. And I said, I didn't care. I don't care what it cost me, you know? And from that moment on, I've tried to do everything I can to just try and fix the world. And that moment changed me. It really did. And I quit working on the road. I came home. I went from making 200 grand a year, being a boss, having all my buddies work for me, being in 46 states, to driving a poop truck, getting poop on me every day, making 20 grand a year. But I was able to coach my kids, and I was able to watch them grow up, and I was able to put my priorities straight. And from there, I've went down the rabbit hole, and I've tried to do everything I can to try and fix this world. And that's just where it is inside of me. I'm trying to keep a promise to my boy that passed away. And so I'm just a little different breed. At the end of it all, I'm always trying to find peace. I'm always trying to fix things and make this right for my kids' future. And that's just where I'm at. I'm just trying to do everything I can to fix it, fix this world for them, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's a good reason.
That's
awesome. All right, well, I don't want to hold you up too long, because I know you said you got to get running. I want to give you an opportunity to just, you know, give a quick plug if there's anything anybody can do to support, whether they're from the area or not. Do you have a website up, a Facebook page, a GoFundMe, a petition, anything anyone can do to help?
No, I haven't asked for any money yet. I've just been doing this straight out of pocket. I'm self-employed, and I have a little bit of freedom to kind of do my own thing, but I've put all my jobs off and for the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's not like I make a bunch of money. The government, it's kind of crazy. All that money I made out on the road. I'm just going to roll gangster here, man. I'm on taxation and stuff, so you're going to understand what I'm saying.
Awesome.
When I went out on the road, I made good money, and I started my guys off at $1,000 a week. And I grew up super poor, man. And I never had much growing up. So what I did is when I made all that money, I never filed taxes. And so I did owe the government about $750,000. They came to my door, knocked on my door and said, "Hey, you know, we need that money." I didn't have anything besides a junk car. And I said, "You can have my junk car. I'm not going to tell all my friends, you know, I'm going to take all that money." Everything that everybody made, I did it for about 10 years on the road. And like I said, I started people off at $1,000 a week cash and did that for 10 years. And I took every single person's taxes on my shoulders. And I ate it all by myself. So the government said, "You know what? You can never make more than $30,000. If you make more than $30,000, we're going to take it." And I said, "Okay, fine." And they put me in an uncollectible status. And after 10 years, it goes off my record. As of right now, I'm pretty sure I got nice. $500,000 that I've got wiped off my record. You know, I'm pretty outspoken about it. But that's where I'm at. I can't make more than $30,000 a year. So I have skills in this world. I just go out and I can do a tile job.
You can't make more than $35,000 a year on paper.
Right. Well, I don't. I keep it legal, man. I keep it legal. I'm not gonna, as big as that is, man. I don't. And it makes my life easy because I know how to make money in this world. Like I can go do a big tile job because I know how to do tile and I know how to do so many different trades, and I can go make $3,000 in a week. And so that means that I can work 10 weeks in 1 year, and it gives me the rest of the year. And I spend time coaching baseball. I do other stuff. But at this point, I mean, I'm really deep and I'm super broke, but I never asked for money. I've never asked for money through all this. All I really want is I'm just trying to make things better. So if people want to go to my page, I'm accepting friend requests. My name is Josh Butterfield. I got my boys jumping a four-wheeler or whatever on my profile. My Facebook page, which for some reason it doesn't get nearly as much as my personal page. Like my personal page, I share stuff. I get 40,000 shares. I share it on my Freedom Press Media, and I get 20 people who like it. So I don't know what's going on there. But if you want to go to Freedom Press Media, it's Freedom Press 411. I would really appreciate all the likes and all the support I could get there, man. That would really help me, and I'm going to keep fighting this fight. I'm super determined. Most people who know me know that I'm just stupid stubborn, and I just don't give up. And once I see something, I'm like a pit bull. I just ain't going to give up. And that's the way I am with the school, and that's the way I am with a lot of these local politics around here. I've really went down the wormhole, and I can see how corrupt and how connected they all really are. I don't want to get too in depth on it right now, but there's a lot more to come. I guarantee it.
As you're talking about this and saying it's the Ozarks, I just keep thinking about the show and like.
Right. I've never even seen it. I've never seen it, but I know that our county is one of the most was voted one of the most corrupt counties. I don't know who exactly voted that or whatever, but it's definitely a problem around here, to where they're all connected. So I'm just trying to figure out what I can do to fix what we got without trying to get into a struggle.
Awesome. Well, you have my support, and you have the support of all my viewers, I'm sure. So I'm going to go ahead and put your link on the in the description for the video, so anybody who's interested can go there and follow you. But I don't want to hold you.
I do have a library.
What's that?
Right. I do have a library. One of my posts, I have a library of everything. Just looking in there, and I have it all categorized in timeline. So there's actually a library of all the stuff where you can go and see all the videos. You can see me interviewing the police officers. You can see all the police officers kicking me out. You can see the health department kicking me out. You can see me going to the school board and the school superintendent getting mad at me. I mean, you can see it all right there. You can see it all right there. So there is a library. Awesome. And I appreciate all the support. And thank you so much for having me on your show, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. It's really awesome. Yes, and for everybody watching, of course, support the podcast as much as you can. Go to taxationandstuff.cards, get your swag, get your hats, your flags, your t-shirts, and everything else. Don't forget to share, subscribe, follow, comment, like, tweet, and all that other good stuff. And I will see you tomorrow with another awesome show. Have a good night. Taxation is Theft.